true, that spiritual, actual, factual answers to questions he asking. You find them inside you, recite you, reciting the records of Kashuk. We laughing, we drafting the passion through fabric. It's time for that comedy, dramedy, all of the fanciest, catchiest acronyms. Listeners, listen, we traveling. Consciousness is always unraveling. The reading you're having is mapping you back to your natural habitat. Abracadabra, it's magic, let's pass it. To top it off, the host are the classiest. Now, what were you asking for? All of the answers, what? All the answers.
And you're recording, and things are happening. I don't even want to.
Everything's happening.
Nope.
I'm gonna knock on the wood paneling of this wall.
I was gonna ask. Let's start right out by asking, Katie, where the hell are you in a hotel or someone's slightly tacky basement?
I was legitimately just gonna say, doesn't it look like somebody dropped me in a hole and they're holding me prisoner?
But kind of a nice prison, but like it's still a
Sex dungeon basement hole.
Yeah, you're being kept.
Yeah, for sure. It's a little rustic Airbnb.
Okay, it's cute.
In Jacksonville, Florida. Small dog.
Why?
Oh, you know, reasons.
Okay, cool. No, we won't go into that one.
Because I've been dropped into a sex dungeon and I'm now being sex trafficked.
Cool, maybe voluntarily even.
Maybe. Maybe I got Stockholm syndrome.
I mean, I know you drove yourself there, so, you know.
I did.
Maybe you were hypnotized.
No, here, my stepsister lives here in this town. And
in this sex dungeon.
She lives right here in this sex dungeon. And she and I have similar designs on having a small real estate empire.
Oh, okay.
And she had combined our forces together, like our financial realities combined, mean that we could actually do us something. But individually, she can't do it. And individually, I can't do it. Like I have what she doesn't have financially and she has what I don't have financially for like.
Interesting.
The things you need to buy Airbnbs and make money on them. So we're like teaming up to see if we can actually make a something happen.
Okay.
I'm really excited about it, actually.
That's great.
Yeah, and it feels so nice to be. I know this is not what we liberals like to believe is a real thing, but boy, is it nice to be in Florida.
I'm just going to let that sit there.
Well, northern Florida is a really different vibe than some other parts of Florida. My point is, Florida gets a lot of shit, understandably.
Yeah.
But there's just some really great things about it. I really like it.
My main connection to Jacksonville, that's where you are?
Yes.
Is the character from The Good Place. What's his name? Who's from Jacksonville and just talks about it all the time.
Cheedy.
No, Cheedy is the other guy.
Oh, you're right.
This is the guy who at the beginning is like a silent monk, but it turns out he's not. Spoiler
he's
alert.
Like he's in a bad dance group.
Yeah, he's a 20-person dance crew.
Amateur dance crew, yeah.
And he's all about like just trashy everything. Everything is trashy. In his life.
What is that character's name?
I'll think of it later, but it's funny. He's constantly making Jacksonville Jaguar jokes and Jacksonville this. And
well, during COVID, Jacksonville just completely exploded and everybody moved here. And now it's like this hot property place. And you can get 4-bedroom houses on water for $400,000 here. Still, but like, it's got to be now because like everybody's
right.
figured
in
it out.
In 2 weeks, it's going to be different. Right.
Yeah, for real. Hold on. Jacksonville character, Good Place. Jason Mendoza.
And it's always his whole name. Like, you got to say his whole name. Yeah, he's great. Oh,
that is such a perfect Florida character. It's really real. But also, there's other people here. Anyway, I like it a lot.
I mean, we like Jason Mendoza in the long run. He's a really good person. He's just simple.
True. Right. Sure.
Let's leave it at that.
For me, energetically, the energetics are just so goddamn good for me here. Astrologically, really? Everything's good. Oh my God, I know. I mean, it feels so good in my body.
Is there a regional theater company?
You know what there might be is one that I finally could start.
Right, because it has the population to support it.
And there aren't any that are, well, I mean, there are a couple, but like I would certainly be a quality fish in a low quality
pond. No.
Pond. No. In a low quality pond.
Okay.
I'd be like when the, I'm going to say controversial shit. Let's not. I'm going to be like the edgy, smart, cool theater in a town full of musicals from the 70s.
That is a really great way of couching that whole thing. I love it.
Thank you.
I love it.
Thank you. Wouldn't that be cool to be like the one cool very awesome theater in a town where everybody has money. There's money here.
But they're all just going to see Mamma Mia. Like, that's it. It's just Mamma Mia on loop.
Yes. They're just seeing Into the Woods again.
I mean.
Again.
I think I'd rather see Into the Woods than Mamma Mia, but still.
Fair enough. Same here. Into the Woods is a great musical.
But let me be clear. Also, Mamma Mia, a lot of fun one time.
Totally. Great musical. Good time.
Had a blast.
Yeah.
Done it.
How many times? Also, like, I love the idea in Florida when a production of Doubt is the signature that you're smart and edgy.
Right.
Everyone in Florida is still fucking producing own. It's like Mamma Mia, Into the Woods, but Doubt.
That's our serious work for the year.
It's our great edgy play. Piece.
Right. But done at this point.
How many times do we need fucking Doubt?
I did it twice. I don't know, for what it's worth.
Did you?
Yeah.
Were you up at Grass Valley doing it? Did I make that up?
Down at Pack Rep in Carmel and then at Theater Works.
Oh, that's cool. Look at you being a legit actor.
That was a long time ago.
So when I start my company here in Jacksonville, Florida, because here's the real estate mogul plan. I'm going to get a property in Beacon and in Jacksonville.
Okay.
They're both going to have Airbnbs on them. So the cost of them is covered by the rentals.
So you live there, like, it's like a two-parter, like a place for you to live and an attached rental unit?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great.
Or not, but that's where we're starting as a vision.
Or you just Airbnb it when you're not there.
Yeah, exactly. And ideally, the mortgage or the rent is covered by the rental, da, 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 da. So we'll see. And then, of course, what you do is you leverage the first property you take after a couple of years, it gains equity. You take that equity out, you buy another property. Now you're renting and making money on another Airbnb because Airbnbs make a lot more money than long-term rentals. So now you're an Airbnb landlord and then you hire somebody to do the cleaning for you. We got a plan. Did you fall asleep?
Sorry, I checked out when you started doing financial leveraging. I don't.
Oh, good. That's so good easy and fun. And I'm going to finance everybody's everything.
Okay. Make it happen. Make it happen.
It makes me very excited. And it's nice to feel excited about something. Again, it's been a while. I haven't been very excited. Yeah.
Katie, I have a little tiny bit of story. It's not even that interesting, but I really want to hear your travel stories because I've heard through the grapevine.
Oh, fuck a duck.
Of some crazy fuck a duck shit.
Okay, I'll tell you. Who? What grapevine?
I'll tell you in a minute.
Rami?
All of them.
Oh my God, I can't wait. Go ahead.
All of them.
Oh, I know one. Denise.
Yeah. And that's like two steps because she heard it. So Denise, yeah.
Okay, I'll tell you.
I think yours is going to be more interesting. So I was just going to get mine out of the way. Just a fun little update on like all of my weird, tiny, but persistent maladies that have been happening that we've done like multiple readings on.
Oh, cool.
Some of which are better, some of which aren't, but whatever, it's fine. But the short one is, one of the questions we asked like a month ago was we crowdsourced, hey, is there a wizard acupuncturist that someone wants to tell Cassidy about in the Bay Area?
Oh, yeah.
And so weeks ago, like right after that came out, Rami had given me a name, not of someone that they knew, but someone that they knew other people went to a lot and was like, hey, here's this name.
Okay.
It's Dr. O. I'm going to say it. Dr. O. O-U. Dr. O on Grand in Oakland. Let's get this guy some business. And I forgot about that. And then just last Friday, something like that. Let's call it last Friday. No one cares.
Nope.
I was, aw, dog.
My nugget.
Little wiped out doggy. I was like, oh, Dr. O. And I'm Googling around trying to find him. And of course, his website. Because he's just like a storefront guy who's been there for 100 years on Grand Avenue in this funky little spot. Like funky as hell. You love it. No polish. Zero polish anywhere. But anyway, I finally find a website that seems to be his. It's so like 12 years, 15 years old website with just like real basic GeoCities style lettering. But it just has his phone number and a couple of blurbs about what he does. That's all you need.
Yeah.
Anyway, I've got it up on my computer. I haven't done anything with it. I forgot about it. I walk away. 20, 30 minutes later, I'm downstairs. My computer's upstairs. I get a text from Safiya, not former, but guest from the podcast, friend of all of ours.
Former human, now deceased.
Former humans, no, not at all. Now transcended to superhuman.
Good call. Way better framing.
And she literally just goes, Dr. O. I've just caught up listening to the old podcast. You've got to go to Dr. O. He's the guy.
Oh, my God.
So I just run upstairs and I just take a picture of my screen at that moment. And I just text it to Sophia, like, are you kidding me? Like, no one had spoken words about this in weeks. And then suddenly, the moment I bring it up on my computer, she sends it to me.
I love it.
Like, it's sitting there. She goes, Dr. O, this is the guy. This is the guy. You got to go to him. So I make an appointment. Went yesterday. Right after, didn't feel great. Didn't feel much different. But that's, you know, the way things work. One of the things that happens is he also has like massage Tuina style massage in his place.
Yeah.
But what I didn't realize is how it worked is like he did his thing and needled me and it was great and moved some things. And then he takes the needles out and he's like, now flip over and we'll do the massage. And so he leaves so I can flip over. And there's like a piece of fabric that you lay over you to for modesty. I'm not naked. I'm just down to my shorts, basically. Anyway, and then I hear him say a few words in his tongue to somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
And then some hands are on me and start working on me. And I realize, oh, this is some other human entirely whose face I have not seen.
Right.
So I'm getting it's just weird to get a massage from a complete and utter blank. Like, I have no idea who this person is. I was not
weird.
Shown or introduced to them. And it's just like these hands come in and start touching me.
Okay.
And they beat the shit out of me in a good way, but like
it was a lot.
Yeah, some leans in where I was making the noises.
Wow.
It hurt, and then it didn't, and it released, and some of it didn't. Today and last night, no headache last night. I almost always have a headache at night and also waking up, and neither of those happened, so that's awesome.
Wow.
And it is sinus. It was like you'd given me allergy. He was like, it's sinus and the frozen shoulder. He's like, oh, that's the same.
Yeah.
That's the same thing as the sinus. He's like, it's passing through here, over to there, through there, down there, the end of your hand. And it's all down there. Does your hand hurt? Oh, God, that really hurts. You know,
I love it.
You ever get the needle in like the meat of the hand, like webbing between the thumb and the fingers?
Well, I have needle shock. So I have stories about this.
Oh, so you don't do.
No.
Oh.
I have crazy stories about this, but carry on.
Anyway.
We'll come back to it.
That one hurt like hell. That's all I'm saying. That one always hurts like hell. It goes in and your whole body just jolts. And then he turns it and it like dials down. You're like, oh, that's better. Yeah. But I feel pretty good today. I'm a little high, actually. You can tell I'm talking a little fast.
That's great.
Yeah.
You know, I want to just say that level of positive result, we got some positive result for Rami on some stuff too recently.
Oh,
like
good.
Last night level recent.
Cool.
So like results are occurring, America.
Results are happening. Yeah. I talked to them, but they had just finished their class and then we didn't get to finish our conversation because it got cut short, but maybe I'll call them later
today.
Yeah,
check in with them today. Yeah, that's rad. How cool. It's so funny to me to hear you say, I'll call them later today. Because you, as we've talked about on here before, you and I so don't have that kind of relationship. Like the idea that you would call someone, you, Cassidy, would like call a person you're close with and chit chat.
There's like two people. Rami is the only person I talk to on the phone regularly.
Also, what I can't imagine, Rami blows my mind too, because the level of like Rami and I, you go deep with Rami, like you talk for real with Rami, and Rami has 900 people they're doing that with.
Yeah.
How are there that many hours in a day?
I don't know.
They're just like the most social mammal.
Who wants to live alone and live in a cave too.
Right.
Like it's so perfect. Like shut out everything. I just want to be in my world.
I shut them out and then talk to four people total. But I'm a 6'2 hermit role model. So what are you going to do? Is there more to your story?
No, that's pretty much it. The main part was that wonderful little bit of synchronicity, like that just for some reason hit me like a brick when
I love it.
She had, you know, that was a weeks old episode that she had just listened to.
Crazy.
Sophia. And then was like, hey, this guy who I literally had just brought up on the computer.
Oh, so now you had two recommendations.
I had two recommendations. And then the universe was the third.
That's good.
On that one, timing-wise. The universe was like, did you see that? You should do this. Get on that.
Didn't you also just have some fun travels with Denise?
I did. We went and, went and hung out with my folks for a couple of days, and that was really fun. And then we got a little, we went in a gigantic lava tube cave system.
I saw that.
Up near Shasta. It was really cool and kind of intense and scary. Like,
yeah.
Heart beating, like, here we are going in deep. And we only had our cell phone flashlights. We were not prepared, you know. And like rock fall, you have to like clambering over rock fall, trying not to turn an ankle.
Jesus.
Multiple little, yeah.
Scary,
but good. And we went to some gorgeous waterfalls. Go to the McLeod Falls, y'all, up near Shasta, near McLeod, which is near Shasta. Absolutely gorgeous system of three falls, the lower, middle, and upper falls, as they call them. And just beautiful. Like the middle falls, I was like, oh, I don't have to go to New Zealand.
Wow.
Right? I mean, this is like 1/10 scale of that type of falls in New Zealand, but it was so, it's like, yeah, this is it. This is what you'd need. This is gorgeous.
Wow, I did not know that was a thing out there. That's cool. That's very cool.
And then beautiful. We had a little tiny, what's it called? A tiny house. That's what it's called. With donkeys that we became friends with. We befriended Arto, the donkey. Not so much Babette. Babette was a little more standoffish, but she still gave us a little bit of our love.
You know how she do.
She's a little, no, thank you.
I'm not interested.
But Arto literally is like a giant donkey who wants to cuddle.
Oh, a cuddle donk.
We'd been brushing him and stuff, and then we're walking out, and he just follows us until he can get another hug. He's like, puts his head under your arm, like, hey, we were hugging.
I have never met a cuddle donkey.
He's pretty great.
Wow. Okay, well, here's what happened. Ready?
That's all my stories. Go.
Yeah, I get it.
You drove.
Yeah. This one, it's funny because, you know, usually I come on here and I'm like, do I have a tale for you? This one was so, I'm so glad it's over that I don't even know if I would have remembered to mention it because it was.
Oh, well, let's re-traumatize you and revisit that moment.
Well, no, I'll give you the gist of it. So I drove, it's a 2-day drive. If you do it in two, like you do 8 hours and then 7 hours or vice versa, 15 hours, you know.
That's a lot.
So I get down to where I have an hour and a half left on the second day total. I'm very close. I'm in southern Georgia and I'm aware that I'm teaching a healing class followed by my Stanford stand-up comedy class on the internet. So I have to get to Jacksonville because GPS says I'm getting there at 5:30 p.m. The class starts at 7. So I'm like, perfect. I'll have time to settle in. I'll set up the thing. It's going to be perfect. Well, I don't know. I guess it would have been around 4 o'clock or something. This thunderstorm starts on I-95 in southern Georgia with rainfall that was, you know, you can't see a foot in front of the car. So much water. The sky is black. It's so dark. It's black. And it's 4 o'clock. It's not nighttime. The lightning starts. I should give a little backstory here. About a week ago, we had a lightning storm so bad in Beacon that I watched lightning hit the ground right outside my bedroom window. I saw the spot where it hit.
So you saw lightning hit ground near you?
Yeah, a week ago or so. And then went out in the morning to be like, did I imagine that? And no, there was a burn spot on the fucking grass where the lightning hit right outside my window, about 10 feet from my window.
Wow.
In Beacon, New York. Mm-hmm. Terrifying. So that was like a really scary lightning storm. And if you recall, when I moved from Colorado to New York, remember that story?
Yeah.
For our listener, just a short recap, I drove through a field of lightning in eastern Colorado, almost Kansas, where my tire on my U-Haul blew out and I had to pull over on the side of the road in a big metal box in a field of lightning for 2 hours. I'm talking about everywhere around me, crashing thunderous lightning for 2 hours. It was the most scary thing I think I've been through until yesterday, 2 days ago. So lightning's been a theme. Okay, so remember a week ago, lightning right out my side my bedroom door. I'm huddled in the hallway with the dog in my lap because I'm like, this lightning is going to come into this window. And then it did. Like, it didn't come in, but it was 10 feet away. So I drive my car. Here we are. It's 2 days ago. I'm in Georgia. And the rain is so bad that I pull under an overpass. There's an overpass over the freeway. And I'm just like, I can't drive anymore. And I pull over. And so now the rain isn't hitting me, but the lightning is everywhere. It's every fucking where. About six other cars follow suit. They pull behind me under this this pass on the left side of the pass and the right side. People are just huddling under this thing. All of a sudden, and there's so much lightning, now I'm starting to have like real bad nervous system stuff happen. Like I'm just getting a little panic attacky. And the poor dog is starting to freak out. And it just, it was freaky. A fucking bolt of lightning hits a tree 15, 20 feet in front of me.
And you see it.
I see the lightning hit the tree. It travels down. It hits the ground. It cracks really loud when lightning hits that close because it's like the thunder is right there.
Right.
That is the sound of thunder is like the crack of the light. Now I'm terrified. And I'm literally like gripping the wheel like, do I go or do I stay? Because both things are bad.
Right.
If I stay, this is where the lightning is. If I go, I'm going into an unknown field where I can't see in front of my car and there's more lightning there too. So I'm just like, my nervous system, it's like I can't make a choice and I'm stuck and I'm crying and I'm scared. 2 minutes later, this is a true story, another lightning bolt hits the same tree. When the second lightning bolt hit the same tree, 4 of the 6 cars under the overpass bolt out of there.
Just peel out.
Everybody's like, nope, bye. 4 cars just go into traffic that where it's sheets of rain where you can't see. And they're like, well, I'm out. There was a guy on a fucking motorcycle.
Oh, shit.
Pulled under this overpass. Like, I guess I'm not riding my motorcycle now. After the second lightning bolt, I watched him put his helmet on and get wet. Now I'm sitting under there with this one other car and we're looking at each other across the road like, putting our hands up, like, what do we do? Because I could tell that person had the same feeling I had, which is if you go forward, you're driving into the lightning storm. But if you sit here, we've had 2 bolts. It's not good. So all of a sudden, I don't even know what happened, but I found myself driving into the storm. I had to, thank God, I was just praying that there would be an exit soon and that I could like hide under something better. I don't know what I was even thinking. I had to go over a bridge and through a thing and blah, 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 but there was an exit. I got off and gratefully there was a gas station and another gas station and an Econo Lodge and a Super 8. Okay. So like shitty situation, but way better than being on the freeway next to this tree that apparently magnetizes lightning to it.
Jesus.
I get to the first hotel. There's a line of 10 people ahead of me because everybody's pulling off the freeway. And I realize there's no rooms in this hotel. So I have to get back in the car, drive through the lightning storm again to the second hotel, the Econo Lodge. I go, there's no humans there. I get a room. I get into the room with, I've got the dog and some luggage and it's, the lightning is still very intense everywhere. The lightning hits so close that the walls of the Econo Lodge are shaking and the art, quote, quote, on the wall is like, tugga, 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 tugga against the wall, very loud. That scared Squeezel more than anything because the fucking thunder made the art. Anyway, I took the art off the wall and just sort of sat on the ground panicking. It was pretty much like 2 hours of just a straight panic attack. And so I ended up getting in touch with Stanford to cancel a class is not easy. It's a complicated series of people you have to try to reach. I was able to cancel that class. And then it was like my friend who produces this class with me that was at 7 that Denise is a part of, which is I'm assuming how you heard about that.
Yeah.
She was like just helping me sort of talk me off the ledge of this panic attack I was in. And then by the time I was able to calm down enough to feel like myself again, it was 10 minutes before the class. And I was like, just a mess. I was just, I need to cry now. I need to lay down. I don't have bandwidth to help other people with their journey. So we had to cancel the class. And so, you know, I wrote a thing out that was like, you guys, I'm so sorry. And we'll reschedule and we'll do it next week. Here's what just happened. Gail's been talking me off the ledge. I just almost got struck by lightning twice. I'm having a panic attack in Southern Georgia. I'm so sorry. So everybody was cool. And it's fine. Here's the real. So that's like the external horror shit show of what happened. The end of that is that the rain slowed down. The lightning slowed down. I got maybe 4.5 hours of sleep. The dog and I kept being awoken by weird people at the Econo Lodge knocking on each other's doors. And
Jesus.
It was very shitty. The side note, the water in the bathtub of this hotel literally smelled like feces. The water. Like, so I'm showering in feces water. And as I'm showering in fecal water, the towel rack.
Name of episode, showering in fecal water.
Absolutely, please. That is the name. Okay. The towel rack outside of the shower above the toilet falls off the wall. onto the toilet and cracks the porcelain toilet top. Like a metal towel rack just fell off the wall and shattered the top of the toilet thing. And I'm like, the fuck is this day? So I get out and I have to poop, and I poop in the toilet and I flush it and it won't flush. So now there's a huge turd in the toilet. The top of the toilet is broken. The toilet is doing that thing where it's running, but it won't finish running. So I have to like lift the little thing in the back and hold it up forever to make it stop making a sound. But there's a poop in there, so the poop is smelling into the bathroom. The water is already fecal water, so there's already feces smell.
So you're covered, you smell like shit anyway.
Yep. I close the bathroom door to try to keep the poo smell in that side of the room. Then I
but
come
it's
into
on
the,
you.
It's on, it's all over my body parts. It's inside of me. It's oneness now. There's cigarette stench all through the carpet. The blanket they have on this bed is like a comedy blanket. It's terrible. It's very thin. And then people were knocking on doors all night and playing computers and TV until 2 a.m. So Squeezle and I just like tried to sleep and kind of got sleep. And then it was like perfectly sunny in the morning and we drove easily to the Airbnb and it's been a dream ever since. That's what happened. Now, here's the real end of the story. I feel like I'm talking forever, but
it's a story.
As people, and you in particular will remember, but I don't know if the listeners know this or remember, I've been working on, since I was like 35, all of a sudden I had terrible fear of turbulence on airplanes. It like came out of nowhere. And it's the same level of, and when I say terrible fear, I mean, when turbulence happens, I'm immediately sobbing and I become hypervigilant. I'm grabbing things. I'm looking around. I'm thinking, okay, what do we have to do? How do we solve it? Like my nervous system goes into overload and you can't calm me down either. I'm inconsolable. It's a terrible state for everybody around me and for me. So I've like stopped flying places and until I can heal this, like whatever the issue is.
Yeah.
Okay. So I know a few things about healing. And I have so many people all over the world that help me with so many different modalities. And like, nobody's been able to do anything that would get to this. Cut to this thing happens. And I'm sitting in this Econo Lodge and I got nothing but time because I've canceled everything because I can't function for people. And I'm like, I am getting to the center of this now. I am getting to it. I will heal this night or I do not get off this bed. Like, I just got really fucking mad at it, which is a great way to get when you're trying to like solve a thing that's been torturing you for a decade.
Yeah.
So this is where it gets really esoteric and kind of interesting. And we talked about this last night in class. You've heard me. Okay, let me back up.
What's up, everybody? Rami here. So fun fact about me, I have 3 jars of cinnamon on my spice shelf. So my subletter who was staying here in May left, and I'm out of town most of the time right now doing a show, but I came to my apartment on my day off and found the 3rd jar of cinnamon left by my subletter. Now, the 2nd jar of cinnamon was left by a previous subletter, and the 1st jar of cinnamon was purchased by me because I wanted cinnamon. I did not want 3 jars of cinnamon. Now, this might not be much of an issue to most people, but it deeply bothers me, actually. I really don't like having extra. I really don't like having excess. What I love is for my things to be used by me, to be used by my friends and family, to be used by the community. I just feel like things are there to be used. And how am I gonna use 3 jars of cinnamon? I can't even marry them because they're too full. And I know this is just my culture butting up against her culture, right? So my culture says, share the wealth, use the things. And her culture might say, you know, be a good person, don't use other people's things, don't use things that don't belong to you. Yeah. Anyway, Rami's rules.
I'm trying to think of how to frame the story because there's a teaching piece in here, but then there's just Katie being cranky, telling the scary thing that happened to her version. So I'm navigating both worlds.
Right.
The short version of what occurred is that I asked the questions I've been asking for 10 years. Like, questions get you to the heart of the matter. Once you're sitting in the energy that is at the heart of the matter, you can change any energy. You just have to be at the heart of the matter. You have to be at the core of the issue, right? To change it fully from the inside out. I asked a question sitting on that Econo Lodge bed.
Smelling of cigarettes and shit.
Tasting feces in my mouth. That when I think about it now, I can't quite understand how I didn't ask it this way before. It kind of blows my mind. But anyway, I believe in timing. You know, there comes a moment where your nervous system is ready to release something and your mind knows what to ask and the spirits align and the planets align and boom. Mm-hmm. So I'm so activated by the terror of the lightning that I'm sitting on the bed, super activated. And I go, I am dropping right into the worst part of this activation, just like I know how to do with everything else. And I'm going to sit here and figure out the right question to move this energy. I got more release of that terror. The terror fully left my body. I was exhausted. I've been exhausted for about 48 hours from the relief of the terror being gone by asking a slightly different question than I've been asking for a decade. So I'll share it. This whole time I've been asking, am I carrying fear or terror in my nervous system from the sexual abuse when I was a child? No. Am I carrying terror and fear from a past life? No. Is this somebody else's terror and fear? No. And then I would ask, is this my terror and fear? No. And I'm like, hold on. If it's not somebody else's and it's not mine, who? Okay. Is it an entity's fear? No. Demon? No. Alien? No. Something I'm not naming? No. What? And so I've been fucking stumped. And I'm never stumped. There's always something. It's always a something. But I've been getting nothing, nothing, nothing. So there I am. And I'm sitting and I'm shaking and I'm sobbing and I'm in the center of it. And I go, wait a minute. Is this a part of me that's carrying terror from the past? Yes. Now, I do parts work with my clients almost every session. I know how to work with parts of self. The fact that in 10 years I have not asked the question, is this a part carrying terror? I think I assumed that God would give me a fucking break.
Like a semantic difference.
And know the language. Like that God would be like, when she says, am I carrying? She means any part of me. Nope.
But they're like, no, your totality is not, but a part is.
And this is where the teaching, the whole class was built on this last night, was after I got over being angry about it. Because I was like, are you fucking serious, God? For a minute, I was like, really? And then I was like, just heal it. I'm fine. Just heal it. So then we did. Anyway, I have so much to say about that. Let me finish the story first. Then I'm going to do the conceptual stuff. So I get in touch with the part. I tap. I do simple EFT and then a bunch of divine light transmission into the part. And the part just completely released. And then I was like, so am I going to have the same problems on airplanes now? No. Am I going to be as afraid of lightning now? No. Is my nervous system healed now? Yes. And I'm like, that took, I'm not kidding, 3.5 minutes. Once I got to it, it was just done. It was just done. It was just easy.
Okay. But when you asked the question about the healing, did you say, is there a part of me that's going to be terrified on a plane?
Will all parts of me, okay, are there any parts of me that will be terrified on a plane? No. Or lightning? No. Thank you.
Okay. Just I want to double check. Apparently the language matters.
Apparently it fucking matters.
God's up there with like no glasses down at the bridge of their nose with like a little tiny notepad going, nope, sorry, that was the wrong word. Like a grammar Nazi.
God's like, well, yeah. Actually. Yeah.
Yeah.
That what's that yeah, joke?
I got
well,
you.
Well, actually.
I followed.
That thing. Yeah.
Yeah. I heard it. It was funny. And I laughed.
Well, sometimes when I'm talking and you're talking, I'm like, I don't know if he hears me. So then I'm like, let me say it again. So because it's me. I'm never sure. That's me with any time we're talking at the same time. I'm like, I don't know if they heard what I said. Anyway, so after I processed the whole thing and time went by, I started to get insights about this. And sort of here's what I get. It's like this. It's like, first of all, you're not ready to release a thing until you're ready to release a thing. That there's just no pushing the river when it comes to healing. You don't get to go like, I insist that now. You can go, I feel it now. I'm ready now. Could we do it now? And sometimes you get a yes. Like I've talked with a lot of my students about how I got on the healing path to heal my eating disorder. And the very last thing that healed after 20 years was the eating disorder. Like I was like, okay, now we're going to heal my body image stuff. And it would be like, nope, all this trauma about your mom is gone. And I'd be like, cool, now we're going to heal the body image stuff. And it'd be like, nope, now you don't hate your dad. Like, okay, like, what the fuck, right? But then what I realized about that is eating disorder stuff and body image stuff is all about self, yourself, how you see yourself and how you experience yourself. Well, it is all about your parents. So, of course, you got to heal the parent stuff before the self-image stuff can shift. Okay. A, timing. Like, you're ready to release a thing when you're ready to release it. B, this piece is so physical. It was physical terror, the energy of terror living in my nervous system that was trapped in a part or an aspect of self. The East Coast, this whole move for me to the East Coast has all been about the physical and the emotional body. Like, I don't get to work on these etheric realms of healing for myself anymore. Whenever I'm bringing light through, it's treating the physical and the emotional for me personally. And I now understand that's the fuck why I'm here. That's why I'm on the East Coast, is because what the frequencies out here, they are 3D frequencies. You know how the East Coast is very like straightforward and psychology and we're fighting and it's winter and we're intense people. And California is like wind and fairies. It's because those are the frequencies that are here. So if you have healing to do on the 3D body and you're me and you work through spiritual means, and spirit is always has my back on, where can Katie be to get the maximum growth and healing? I always think, this time it's not going to be about growth and healing, but I'm wrong every time. So timing is real. The East Coast energies are very 3D stuff. So this 3D stuff was way too hard for me to face any moment before now, because the level of terror that I was feeling, I don't wish it on anyone. No one should ever have to, but some of us do. Okay. So that, but also I had a friend who used to say the universe or the divine or whatever you like to call it is too much of a gentleman to step in and make your choices for you about what should heal when. In other words, it's not going to, like, you have to agree and you have to get very clear about what you're ready to face. Like, you'll get, here's the thing that I'm doing right now. I'm saying a thing that is paradoxical because both things are true. Everything is true and its opposite, which is a little Buddhist saying that I really love. So in other words, timing is real, but also we have to be very clear about what we're looking to move. Why? Because the universe gives a shit about whether we understand what actually occurred. I'm on a consciousness path. I'm going to say now, everything I'm going to say is going to sound completely antithetical to everything else I just said. And that's because paradox is real and everything is true and its opposite is true. Because Buddhism is amazing. The Buddhists say everything is true and its opposite. I just love that so much, that idea. It's been true in my life. Anyway, you'll often have things that happen in life where you are being pushed to wake up to a something, right? So that is the universe going like, hey, bitch, get this. But if you don't pay attention, you'll stay in the dark about it. But if you agree, if you go, oh, I see the thing you're showing me, I'm ready to face it, let's do it. Then the forces can come together and it can change. So in this case, I think, okay, and maybe I'm just making stories up to justify what happened, but I really get in my knowing sense that if the universe had not been particular with me, no, it's a part of you holding on to this, I would not have learned that that is a thing. In other words, the universe was like, no, honey, you in your essence, who you are in essence is not carrying any trauma, but this part that got exiled is, and that is not you.
Right.
And you need to understand the difference between the part that is exiled and the you, whatever you actually is not that part. That's an unintegrated piece of energy that needs to be processed through you. So I actually appreciate retrospectively the teaching of this, the specificity. I want to say this. I have a friend on the West Coast who is always like, she talks to the Mintakins and she'll be like, can you clear this road for us? And like the road will clear of snow. Like, let's say it's snowing. She'll be like, clear the road, Mintakins. And they just do. In my experience, I have to be like, hello, divine light. Thank you. I'm connecting to you. I bow to you being bigger than me. This road that we're on here in Colorado that is called Exit 5 and Highway 7, could you remove the snow from it now at time and space where we are? Because we need to get to a place. I think that's because my journey is about really being consciously awake and knowing what is true. Why? Because then the vehicle of me is more useful to other people. That's, I'm a healer. I have to know the things down to the things. Otherwise, right. You come to me and I'm like, I don't know, clear it, God.
Right. And then you wipe out an entire, you give them a lobotomy by accident.
Which I can't do.
Because you're just too vague.
More likely
a spiritual lobotomy.
Yeah. It would more likely be like, it just wouldn't do anything.
Right.
Or it would do nice things, but you would never get to the root of the, anyway. So whether that's the case or not, I, it resonates for me. I think it's true. And also like timing is real. And so everything is true and it's opposite. And I feel grateful post this thing that I'm hopefully knock wood free of it. And I'll tell you one thing I know, if I'm not fully free of it, I am a large chunk freer of it than I was before this incident. Now, I would
You just have to get on a plane. Just go get on a plane.
Boy, I would like to make a request to the universe right now, formally in front of all of these humans here listening. Please, if you have more for me to learn on this lesson, please, let's have it come not through lightning or car accidents or plane drama or turbulence. Let's have it come, please, in a subtler way that I'm willing to receive. Because I promise, I think, God, I promise, I think, I'm ready to receive it and hear it in a gentler way, please, maybe. Okay, cool.
Nice. Yeah, that'd be a lot. Because look, let me just, I'm going to wind it back to the beginning of all this. 99% of everybody I know in my life, that's all I can speak to, has never even seen lightning strike anything close nearby. Nobody has.
Yeah.
Nobody has.
Right. Right.
So when you had it happen 2 weeks ago or a week ago, that was a remarkable moment.
That's true.
Huge.
Yeah.
That's gigantic. Earth changing. You saw lightning strike a thing right nearby. Great. We can go to bed now. No, this is like, this is why the concept of Dayenu was invented. Do you know about Dayenu, the song Dayenu?
Yeah.
It just means, God, you could have let us out of Egypt. And that would have been enough, Dayenu.
Right.
God, you could have also, you could have opened the Red Sea for us. And that would have been enough, Dayenu. So you just keep going like,
right.
Cool. Thank you for that little, that really awesome demonstration of power, Dayenu.
Yeah.
Oh no, we're going to go sheets of, okay, rain, shut me down, Dayenu. Oh, lightning all around, Dayenu. Oh, okay. Oh, wow, that hit a tree right nearby. It cracked a tree right near me. Whew, great. Well, that should never happen again. What the fuck?
Can I tell you something even crazier?
Yes.
This I was afraid. I don't even know why. Why at this point am I thinking the thing I'm now going to say is too weird? How is this the weird thing? You know, when I left Beacon, I got to the first place I stayed. It was, I think we stopped in Richmond, Virginia, and I was at a hotel and just, and it so happened that my weekly Vedic astrology thing came through my email. I'm on this guy's list. Uh-huh. I'm actually going to read this to you. You're not going to believe it. I'm going to read it word for word because I can't even, I want to do it the wild justice.
You are under the guidance of the god Zeus. He will run your life for the next 2 weeks.
Well, it's more specific than that. So it says, let me just get it. Here it is. This week, the week of the 11th to the 16th, because, and now, by the way, I'm thinking of changing my return date. I'm not driving back until the 16th is over, because watch this.
Yeah.
Be vigilant as K2 impacts both Sun and Mercury, ruling father and religious figures and long distance travel, along with your career and professional life. These may be vulnerable to sudden issues. Spend another week at home on partnerships, joint ventures, or foreign lands. Expect success with your children, education, and property investments. What I'm here working on through July 26. Be conservative, but expect a lift with entrepreneurial ventures through mid-January. Teach, publish, and advise working out of your home through next March. Divine grace is likely with you and your family also through March. Be vigilant as K2 impacts long-distance travel.
Yeah.
These may be vulnerable to sudden issues. Spend another week at home.
Sudden. Lightning is about as sudden as it is, as exists.
And I'm truly looking at this and I'm like, okay, hold on. This is for the week of July 10 to the 16. Okay, I am not traveling until the 17th, I guess. Because every time, can I just say, every time I go, let's calm down, Katie, about the astrology being real. Let's not be so fucking woo-woo. Let's be a little more grounded. Astrology, really? This happens. And then this email comes in the next 5 seconds and I get reminded, this shit is real. Take it, fucking read it. Be prepared. I didn't read it. I wasn't prepared.
Would you have changed your plans though?
I mean, now I would have. Like I will have going forward.
I will have now have had done.
Well, I mean, the thing is, there are moments in my life I can be so open-minded, like so open-headed and ajna that I'm like, ah, this is possible or this is possible. I believe all the things that I can get. There are moments where I'm like, oh, I'm not doing anything because this astrology says don't do it. And other moments where I'm like, ah, I don't know. I have open-headed and ajna. So it's like, it's all possible. But if I were listening to my strategy and authority and following just the fucking words in this email. And so that's, it was just, I was driving in the car and I was just like, holy fuck, it fucking said. Anyway, so yes, going forward, I will change the plans. Yeah, I'm proving it by not, I was supposed to drive back Friday. Now I'm not gonna.
No, not gonna do it.
I just can't.
Wow. That is, I still just can't get over that you've seen lightning strike 3 times within a week.
I know. I think I'm like in a little bit of denial about it because it was so scary that I kind of am like, I don't even want to know that that's true because I'm like, it's been really scary.
Well, you have a more significant relationship to extreme weather than a lot of people. Like you have experienced, especially driving, like I have one like extreme weather, like rain that made us pull over. And I was like 16 at the time in East Texas. And it was, you know, just sheeting water, flooding. We could not see. Like, I know what you're talking about because I've experienced it. But that level of it, I've probably experienced once in my life. And it was 40 years ago, 35 years ago. Yeah.
Yeah.
But then the lightning thing.
Mm-mm. I mean.
Lightning is so interesting. I mean, my dad has that story that he told on the podcast about the ball lightning rolling down the aisle of the church and killing somebody.
I forgot. Tell me again.
We heard that. I don't know if he was there or if it was just a story in his town or if it happened to like a cousin, but like there was a moment that happened in his personal history somewhere when he was a kid in this tiny town in East Central Texas, whatever, doesn't matter, place in Texas, tiny town. And, you know, this is in the early part of the 20th century and the people were in church and this thing that is called ball lightning, which is basically a ball of lightning, which does happen. Apparently it can roll like a tumbleweed.
What?
Lightning rolls like a tumbleweed.
Sounds like a song lyric.
It does. I'm going to write that country song. Lightning roll like a tumbleweed down the central aisle of the church. Central, not a good song lyric there, but I'll work on it. But it comes through, maybe the doors were open because it was hot, you know, the back doors, and it just comes down the center aisle of the church during services and like hits an elder or something and kills them.
Stop it.
Now I have to check this story with my dad because he has the better details of it, but that.
Okay, fucking, see, this is the shit where somebody in Beacon, the day that we had that thunderstorm, and everybody I'm texting people like, are you getting as much, what the fuck? And people are like, yeah, it's lightning, what's the big deal? The next day, the first thing in the news, somebody in the streets of Beacon got struck by lightning and killed.
What?
Yes. And I'm like, why do people, when I'm texting people going, holy fuck, what the fuck, are people going, yeah, I mean, whatever. You can die from lightning pretty easily. It's not a whatever situation.
Yeah.
What are you looking up?
That is crazy. I was looking at ball lightning.
Ball lightning.
To see if it just, there's lots of references to it on Wikipedia.
I'm very curious.
Some of it is more like, you know, is it real or is it like a woo-woo thing that people pretend is real and then like make happen in a fake seance? But yeah. Answers with Joe. Ball lightning. Weather's biggest mystery. Rare ball lightning captured on video. All right, I'm going to watch this video real quick. Sorry, just hang in there.
No, you're fine. I'm doing things. It's fine.
All right, well, that video was like lightning hitting the ground and then a flare of like a sphere exploding outward. But the way my dad tells it is it's rolling like a tumbleweed down the aisle of the church.
What I'm very surprised I don't remember that story from his time on the cast because that's a memorable ass story.
I'll double check it with him and get back to us. Yeah, so I guess you should continue to be scared of lightning, I guess. Because also, it's real rare that you hear about someone being killed by lightning and you heard about it in your town around you were there that day.
My hope is that rather than just still be scared of lightning, my hope is that the processing I did on the part of me that was carrying the whatever makes it so that I no longer have to see lightning in order to wake up to this thing.
Right. You don't need to be presented with it. You're like, got it. Thanks. Move on from that lesson, please.
That's right. Exactly.
I know you have to probably, you have so much going on today, so we were probably going to keep this a short one. Do we want to do any records or should we call it?
Yeah, I don't get a big yes on it.
Great.
Cards. I mean, we did some deep teachings. We told stories.
We did. Good stories. Fucking fascinating.
We're providing value for the listeners.
They didn't see, but my jaw was like, huh? So much of your story. Huh? That's the sound of jaw open.
Huh?
You're the best. Thanks for hearing me.
You are the best. I love you, Katie. I'll talk to you soon, hopefully.
Okay. Sounds good.
Survive.
Yeah, thank you.
Thrive. And do some work.
Do your work. Bye.
Bye.
Were you asking for all of the answers? Say what? All of the answers? Yeah, all the answers.
Hey guys, thanks for listening. We'd love to hear from you. Please email us with your questions so that we have questions to answer in the Akashic Records. Our email address is allanswerspod@gmail.com. That's allanswerspod@gmail.com. And if you'd like to find us on Facebook or Twitter, it's @allanswerspod, @allanswerspod. Thank you.
I'm not getting anything you're saying.
Mixed and edited by Desmond McNeese for We Mixed It, LLC. Go to whatsoundsawesome.com.
And he can edit all this out.